I have changed the scripture text since your bulletin was printed. My apologies. So if you would, join me in Philippians chapter 3. And if you would, just simply put a bulletin or an insert there. Philippians chapter 3. And then head back to John chapter 14. So Philippians 3 and a bulletin and John 14. That's a pretty good sound. Excuse me? Page number. Somebody in the hymn. Somebody in the pew Bible. Page number. 1623. Christianity is a religion of hope, which focuses on the resurrection and the ascension of Christ as its grounds for believing and trusting in God. A God who is able to triumph over death, give hope to all those who suffer and die, and finally He will gather believers together in the New Jerusalem, or as we more commonly know it, heaven. Today we finish our short mini-series here, if you will, knowing Christ as the hope of heaven. Do you have a hope for heaven? As our scripture encourages us, have you set your mind on things above? Or are you overly trapped by the things of this earth? Something that happened in the past, the death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord Jesus has, in fact, established something new, which will not reach its fullest consummation, manifestation, completion, whatever words you'd like to use, until sometime in the future. Heaven. Now, we in the Reformed Church will preach that there are aspects of heaven, benefits of heaven, some ideas of the heavenly joy present now. We are experiencing it now. So this is one of those now but not yet sermons. We have many of the blessings of heaven here with us now. Our Lord Jesus reigns and rules now. And so we are the beneficiary of many blessings now. But the fullest hope of heaven is a future event. Events of the past have secured a hope in the future. Our desire this Easter season is to know Jesus Christ. And I will define to know once again the biblical definition. To know means to have an intimate personal knowledge with Jesus Christ that produces a life-changing outcome. To know is an intimate thing that has an effect. It's not superficial. It's not just in passing. It's not distant. It is intimate, personal. And you know you have it when you see the change. As I stated Thursday evening, to know is a very intimate term. Adam knew Eve, and that intimate relationship produced children. So we're on that level of intimacy. This is the idea of to know that I speak of when I call on you to know Christ as the hope of heaven. Now, we began this knowing journey last Sunday with a sermon entitled, Knowing Christ is a Fulfillment of Prophecy. And we found that Jesus Christ has prophesied in the Old Testament is a Christ we can know more fully because we have the prophecies, then we also have the fulfillment, and by pulling the two together, we have this picture being formed, this picture being created of knowing Jesus Christ. Then on Thursday evening, we talked about knowing Christ in His incarnation and death. This morning, a beautiful time this morning at sunrise, we spoke of knowing Christ in His resurrection and ascension. And then today, the hope of heaven. All of these things, all of these ideas, all of these events help us to form that picture, help us to form the ideas and put them together so that we are, so that we can know Jesus Christ much more fully. We can have that intimate knowledge. Here this morning, our journey will end where Christ's journey ended. And it is in heaven. He is there. He is our hope. His work for us now gives us our hope. And our hope, of course, is to join Him there at that appointed time. Jesus spoke of heaven when He told His disciples He was going away. And then Paul spoke of heaven to the church in Philippi as he yearned for the goal, the prize for which God had called him heavenward in Christ Jesus. From John 14, a very familiar passage. Many of you have it memorized. Verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. You see, at this point in time, when Jesus is sharing this news with the disciples, they're a little bit distressed. This has been a rough week. Started out good, but it turned. Jesus has just told them that He is to die, and He was sharing the Last Supper with them. And they were none too happy about all of this. So Jesus attempts to comfort them. He tells them of a future happiness. He tells them of a future glory. He tells them of things bigger and greater than what is at hand right now. You see, the best way to help someone through a difficult time is not to make light of the time they're in, but to tell them that this time will not last forever and that there is something greater. You have to be careful when you do that, because you don't want to belittle what's going on now, because what's going on now is real. But at the same time, you want to get them to move outside of now and give them hope. Tell them that this is not all there is something greater. Prisoners of war know of this. If asked what caused them not to lose hope, many times they will reply that it was the hope of being released. It was the hope of seeing their families once again. It was the hope of seeing that someone special. The hope of knowing that what they were in right then was not all. There's something outside of here. And so there's a reason for hope. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German preacher, arrested by Hitler's regime in the mid-40s, began preaching to his fellow inmates and also to some of the guards. He established quite a following before he was changed, before he was sent to a different prison just recently before his death. But he would preach to his fellow prisoners about Jesus Christ, and he would preach to them about the hope that it was in Jesus Christ that was bigger and greater than what they were in right now, because most of them knew pretty comfortably that they were probably not going to get out of there alive. What Bonhoeffer tried to do was to spiritually move them from the physical restraints they were in there to something outside, something greater. This is what Jesus is doing here with His disciples. The disciples were confused about what Jesus has told them. They were confused about living under Roman rule when Jesus told them He was the king. They were confused about all the Jews trying to kill them and trying to kill him. They were just having a really bad week. They were very distraught. So Jesus began building a hope within them. Verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many rooms. Painting a larger, greater picture. In my Father's house are many rooms. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, it's not just for me. I'm going to come back. And when I come back, I'm not just coming back to see you. I'm coming back to get you. So that where I am, you can be there too. See, what Jesus was doing was spiritually moving them out of that physical place of which they were in. Now, this message is not for the disciples alone. This is for you. This is for you today. For those of you who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Jesus is right now preparing a place for you. He is there preparing a place for you. It's a place he refers to as a mansion. It's a place he refers to as having many rooms. Some of you kid me that in heaven your house is going to be right beside mine. That's a good thing. I hope. It's a place that we can't give it words. I almost, at this point in time, was going to go to the book of Revelation and read out of chapter 21 when John tells of all the magnificence of the holy city. But I have to read two chapters to do it justice, so you go read it. But he is there, he's preparing a place for you, and he will come again and take you to be where he is. Just as Bonhoeffer did for the prisoners, Jesus did with his disciples, here Jesus is trying to do for you as well. I know the pains many of you are in. Many of you have struggles, health issues, family issues, financial issues. Life is not very fun right now. Things are tough. But there's hope. There's hope. Paul had this hope. Paul knew of this hope. A primary portion of Paul's preaching and Paul's preaching was based on this hope. That there is greater than this. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Begin verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Mind that teaching. Mind that encouragement. And if at some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to that which we have already attained. Notice the wording. Let us live up to what we have already attained. How can we have already obtained something we know nothing of? Because in Christ Jesus, you have been resurrected, as we spoke of this morning. In this, do you hear words of hope? In this, do you hear the words of hope that Paul is moving beyond where he is to something greater of which he has been called to? Do you hear the words of anticipation? Yes. Do you hear the words of a driven desire? This is not a passing fancy for Paul. This is his drive. I pray you do hear the words of hope, the words of anticipation, and understand the words of drive that Paul is trying to relay here. And I hope that we can take hold of this and this be our drive as well. But notice something else about this passage, which catches my ear every time. These words of Paul do not portray an unknown hope. These words of Paul do not portray a, well, maybe we'll get there kind of hope. Nope. I remember when I was young, I loved to go Jeep riding with my daddy. We lived in upstate South Carolina, and we'd get in the Jeep. He had a 53 Willys Jeep. He'd take the top off. He'd strap us into the mountains we'd go, and we'd get in such ditches and ravines and rivers. I remember one day the river was flowing across my lap. And here we go. And I loved to do that with him. He would say that maybe we could go this weekend. Or maybe we could go so-and-so. I've got some time off. Maybe we could go. And so I had that hope of being able to go do that with him, something we really enjoyed doing together. But see, that was not a secured hope. That was a maybe hope. If it didn't rain, or if he didn't have to work, or if Mama didn't have a list for him, then maybe we could go kind of hope. It was not a I know for sure kind of hope. Well, Paul's words are not like that at all. Paul's words are not like that at all. Paul's words are secure. Paul's words are of a known hope. Paul's words are of a secured hope. And we can understand that when we realize who has initiated the action of which Paul has his hope. Look at verse 12. Not that I have already attained this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Who took hold of whom? Verse 14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Who called whom? Here is the source of hope. Here is the source of security. This is not Paul saying, I chose to follow Christ. No. Jesus said in John 14:2, I'll go back there, you be still. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. Do you believe him? Do you believe he has gone? Do you believe he has gone to prepare a place for you? Verse 3 of John 14 says, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you can be with me where I am. Do you believe him? Do you believe he's coming back? And when he comes back, do you believe that he's going to take you, that you can be where he is? I pray that you do, because all of this, these four sermons, one of the underwriting points about the whole thing in knowing Christ is, do you believe the Scriptures? Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe that it is good for all life, all faith, and all practice? If you do, then you just answered all of those yes. Now, back to Paul's writings. Paul knows of this preparation, but he also mentions the calling and the security and the election of God. Here, Paul's hope of heaven is secured in the election and calling of God and the prize of heaven. It's not a, oh, I hope I can go. Not at all. When I did the communicants class, I remember asking the children, I asked every one of them, I said, do you know you're going to heaven? He said, well, I don't know. I said, okay, we got to stop right here. Got to stop because we can't go any further. If you don't know that, you can know that. And you can know that for sure. Paul's hope is placed in the sovereign will of God as it is revealed to us through this Holy Scriptures. God chose him, and so heaven is his. This is a pretty firm ground on which to place one's hope, and I hope you have your hope there. God has called a people to himself. Jesus is in heaven right now preparing the place for us to dwell, and he'll come again and get us, and we can go home to be with him. This is something that can be known as a fact. This particular passage here in Philippians is a passage I use as a part of my personal mission statement. I've told you that before. This is the passage that keeps me moving. This is the passage that keeps my motor running. When times are getting a little tough and things are said and things are done, I go here. Because I know God has called me beyond a place. God has called me beyond this. I love doing this. But my place is further on. Martin Luther King Jr., in one of his final speeches, spoke of this hope of the promised land. You'll know the speech. He said, "We've got some difficult days ahead, but it doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop and I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land, and I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." Now, some of you may or may not like Martin Luther King Jr., but you need to go back and read some of his early sermons. They'll move you. My question here is, can you speak of knowing the promised land as he did? Do you have the hope? Do you have the security? Can you speak of such in the middle of your trials, knowing that there's a greater place? And it is because Jesus has said, "I've gone to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back, and I'll take you to be where I am." This week I was reading about the state of the Christian congregations. The writer said that many Christians struggle to think of God as a living partner in their life. He said there is an intellectual knowing of God, knowing that he's real and knowing that he has an influence in our life. But when this interviewer got the people outside the religious context into their normal everyday lives, they failed to have or to speak of or to be aware of an intimacy with God. He went on to say, and this is my desire for you as well here on Easter Sunday, he said that he hoped that perhaps one of the greatest gifts Christians could get this Easter is a deeper or renewed sense of connection with God, and a passionate determination to make more of the opportunities we have to know and to be known by the personal God. My question for you is simply this: do you know Jesus Christ personally? In the biblical definition, do you know God personally, intimately, and can you testify that because of that knowledge, there has been and there is and there continues to be a dramatic change in my life? I pray that you can say that. Because in saying that, also you can say, "I have that hope. I have the hope of the promised land. I have the hope of heaven. I have a hope of going to see that room he's preparing for me. I get to go see. Because I believe. I hope you do as well. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we come this day and we squarely put our hope in the name of Jesus Christ and in His completed work and His ongoing work as He intercedes for us, as He is preparing a place for us. And I hope, above all hope, that we know the Lord Jesus and we can live the assured life that He has for us. Bless us with that, Lord. Bless us with that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.